It's River to River on Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Clay Masters. Governor Terry Branstad has made bullying prevention a priority of his. The last 2 years, he's hosted anti-bullying summits in Des Moines, bringing in schools from around the state to Des Moines to raise awareness. We heard stories from students and bullying prevention advocates in the first half. Both the Iowa House and Senate have introduced anti-bullying bills. In the Republican-controlled House, debate about that bill seems to be stalling. It was supposed to come up late last week and again this week, but so far, no action. Governor Branstad this morning, during his weekly press conference with reporters, said he planned to talk with members of the House about the bill. Meanwhile, the bill in the Democratically-controlled Senate will likely be debated sometime in the weeks to come. Here with us in the Capitol Law Library are Representative Quentin Stanerson, a CenterPoint Republican. He's vice chair of the Education Committee in the House. Representative Stanerson, welcome back to the program.
Hey, good morning, Clay.
And Senator Rob Hoag, a Cedar Rapids Democrat and member of the Education Committee. Senator Hoag, welcome back.
Good to be on the show.
And Nate Munson, Executive Director of Iowa Safe Schools, also here with us in the Law Library.
Thanks for having me, Clay.
And joining us by phone, Sioux City Community School Superintendent Paul Gosman. One of his schools was featured in a recent documentary, Bully, which followed a kid who was bullied in one of his schools. Welcome, Superintendent Gosman.
Good afternoon.
So first, Senator Hoag, you were just in a Senate Appropriations Committee where this likely came up. I wasn't there, but
yes.
What was discussed about this bill, and what does the bill look like?
Well, the Senate Education Committee has a bill that we're trying to address this problem. And first of all, Clay, I mean, to talk about the magnitude of the problem, we passed a law in 2007, the Safe Schools Act, which really provided a framework for addressing with school bullying or harassment. And we now know that there are over 2,500 confirmed incidents of bullying and harassment in Iowa schools each year. Over half of the students report voluntarily on the Iowa Youth Survey that they feel like they've been bullied or harassed at some point. So this is a significant problem, and we're trying to address it. And the legislation we have that came out of the Senate Education Committee has $1 million appropriation that goes with it. So it's now in the Senate Appropriations Committee. And we anticipate bringing our bill out of committee tomorrow afternoon.
And what exactly would the bill do?
Well, the bill does a number of things. When I've talked to students, the number one thing it does is it clarifies that harassment and bullying can include cyberbullying, so things done with electronics. Second, and this is probably the most important thing according to the students I've met with, is it clarifies that schools have authority to address off-campus conduct that is having an on-campus impact. And that's really important. We lay out a framework for parental notification, which is something the governor has said is a priority for him. And we've laid out a framework that we do it in a way that also respects the situations where it may be dangerous for the students to have parental notification, because there are some circumstances where the home life is a source of the problem. So we're trying to strike that balance. And then we provide resources for school districts to do training. And training is really, really important, because for a lot of teachers and school administrators and the people who investigate these incidents, this is not necessarily something that they got trained to do originally. And so we're trying to address that training as well.
So, Representative Stanerson, how do the bills play out? And is it a sticking point like we've been hearing about schools having the authority for off-campus reaction to things that are impacting what's going on in the school? Is that an issue that you're hearing from lawmakers?
I think that there are different folks looking at that section on authority off school grounds. And I think that the Senate bill and the House bill made sure that there was language put in place that school administrators and personnel had the authority, and they may investigate an alleged incident of harassment or bullying that occurs off school property if there's certain criteria in place. And that big word in there is may and not shall. But it just gives schools the authority to look at things. I kind of attack the this portion of the bill maybe from a little differently than other folks. I look at it saying you have a kid that's doing some bullying off school grounds, and this just clarifies. And I think many administrators are already doing this. I mean, they are taking things if it affects a student in school, they're already doing something. But this clarifies that, hey, listen, if you are doing something, we can do it, and we do have some authority. And so hopefully the child that's doing the bullying behavior realizes that, hey, there are consequences to my actions, and the school administrators do have some authority. So just trying to put it out that way, instead of saying that we're mandating that schools have to report. And again, the may and shall has been a big plus. I think that the Senate version has the may as well.
Well, beyond that, Clay, we do have the may language, so we're making it clear it's permissive. But when we were in the Senate Education Committee, Senator Rita Hart, former teacher, myself, we also added one mandatory provision on the off-school grounds, and that's when the off-school conduct is creating the objectively hostile school environment on campus. So, for example, the story, the type of incident is somebody, young woman's being harassed off campus. People, classmates of hers bothering her about, whatever the subject might be, right? And I think people can imagine what those subjects might be. Makes it difficult for her to go to school, right? Objectively making it difficult for her to go to class. Well, that's a situation where, in the Senate version, we say that the school district has a responsibility then to address the off-campus conduct. We also make it clear that they have the ability to call in community resources to help. So whether it's law enforcement or another appropriate agency, the school district doesn't have to necessarily be the enforcement mechanism, but it has an obligation to act and to investigate that type of off-campus conduct that's making it impossible for that young student to go to school and learn.
Well, let's hear from a superintendent, Sioux City Community School Superintendent Paul Gosman. Do you think schools should be able to take action off school grounds, and how difficult would that be to manage?
Yeah, I've been following both chambers' bills as they've been working their way through. I have probably got the most knowledge and have done the most work on the House side bill. I've been down there to testify, on that bill. And one of the things I commonly state is that cyberbullying is significantly the most prevalent kind of bullying that we're dealing with today. And this is so fresh to school districts and to our society, frankly. I mean, Facebook is what, about a decade old right now, maybe a little less than that, and Twitter certainly younger than that even, and yet many, if not most, of the instances that we're dealing with in schools have some form of electronic component to them of bullying. And so it just appears that those, while being a good tool in some environments, have also got their negative applications as well. And students have found a way to go to those and use the anonymity or the comfort, I guess, of the electronic communication to be very negative to one another in oftentimes, and that is without a doubt our most prevalent challenge. And so I really appreciate that the legislators are working to include some form of cyberbullying as a part of the legislation, and not that any form of that requires us to act, but it gives us the option to use that lever to partner with our local police forces and sheriff departments and those kinds of things to make certain that we're comprehensively attacking that problem where it sits, so that we can make improvements.
Nate Munson, Executive Director of Iowa Safe Schools, how do you approach the topic? How do you see this authority reaching outside of the school hall?
Well, ever since 2007, our organization has done a lot of trainings around the state for schools, for administrators, for nonprofit organizations on the topic of bullying. And our answer has been real simple on this. As the law currently reads, and as court cases have shown, if it intervenes with the learning environment, then the schools must do something about that. They have to, because it's impacting the learning environment. That's a huge piece of this. We could use maybe a little language to maybe make it more clear to administrators. I think that might be helpful. But right now, schools have to intervene, and that intervention could look like a lot of different things. With cyberbullying cases, a lot of times involves calling local authorities because a school district may not be aware of who's doing it, and then they have the capacity to research who's kind of behind that Twitter account or that Facebook page. But it's something that if it impacts the learning environment, schools must intervene. That's just the easy solution on that, or easy answer on that piece.
So, Representative Sanderson, the bill seems to be continually delayed in the House. Is it dead in your side of the in the House, or will it be brought up later this week?
I think there's a good chance for it to be brought up. Right now, we ran it through subcommittee. All three of us signed on subcommittee. We ran it through committee. I was working with Representative Frank Wood and with the governor's office on that. There was a few changes that we had in committee. It came out of committee with a bipartisan vote, and right now it's up to leadership when we should bring it to the floor. There are some amendments out there, and we're addressing those and looking at all the possible options, but at this time I don't believe it's dead, no.
And you bring up Frank Wood, a Democrat, and he's an educator. You're an educator, so that's probably worth noting. But
yes,
both
I think
coming from education,
I think the two of us have been working on this bill like all of our constituents back home hope that we work on all bills. I mean, I've included Representative Wood in all my discussions, and we've been bouncing things off each other. And we're just, I mean, it just comes down to one thing. Are we gonna agree on everything? No, but are we gonna try and do something that's gonna help these kids? Yes, we agree on that, and we're gonna keep moving forward.
Now the holdup seems to be there's a lot of discussion about some of the amendments on here. I mean, I have the bill in front of me. There's displaying "In God We Trust" in all school buildings in the district. This section shall not be constructed to permit the restraint or discipline for speech addressing legitimate matters of public concern, including speech that is an expression of a religious belief, philosophical belief, or political belief. Inserts language about the golden rule. I mean, are these amendments the sticking points that are the conversations need to keep going on? Or
I think the conversations need to keep going on these amendments. Again, we had a bipartisan bill out of committee. We're trying to move that forward. We're looking at these amendments, and we're letting people have the discussion why they're important to them. And I hope at a future date in the near future here that we'll be moving a bill forward that all of us can agree on.
Senator Hogue, how do you respond to some of the amendments that are in the House bill?
Well, I haven't spent my time studying them, but I do think that I do think that people get a little carried away. I was here in 2007. Representative Sanderson was not when we passed this bill, and it did not. It had bipartisan support, but it was an issue that really divided the Republican Party because there are some Republicans who kind of don't see this as an area where state government should necessarily be acting. I think Democrats are pretty united that we need to continue to build on the 2007 law and do things to improve it. We also believe it's important to put some resources out there for training. Some of the federal grants that have been there are going away, and so the state kind of needs to step up and provide some resources. The governor had proposed a $25,000 a year webinar. We don't think that's adequate in terms of training. So that's a big issue. Clay, I do want to mention one other thing, though, is, in all of this focus on kind of the bully, what we're really after is trying to create safe, healthy learning environments for all students, right? So let's try to move the debate away from being focused on the bully and start focused on the positive things we expect from our students. There is so much for students to learn. There are so many great things for our young people to accomplish. Sports, art, music, entrepreneurship, community service, environmental sustainability, all sorts of great issues that they should be worked on. One of the things that's really sad about this to me is we're taking away from these young people their right to achieve all these, to achieve these great things that I know this generation is going to achieve. And, it's just this kind of behavior really detracts. It's not just the immediate impact it has. It's the long-term distraction from what we really as a state ought to be working on.
So I'm curious to talk a little bit about training. Nate, talk about why training is important. I mean, that's obviously something that you feel is important for school districts to have to do and could help in preventing bullying.
Yeah, training is one of the most important parts of bullying prevention, I think, in terms of a school environment. Our administrators, our staff, all the way to bus drivers and lunchroom staff, they need to know what to do when bullying happens and what it looks like. There's a lot of conversation, obviously, on the topic of bullying, but really, what does that look like in the hallway? What does that look like in a classroom setting? That's something very important to talk about with staff. The other piece is also kind of changing a culture in our schools and in our community still about this idea of bullying. I still hear the phrase, well, boys will be boys, or that's just how girls act. And that's something that we have to keep breaking down, that mentality of that's just a normal behavior, because it's not a normal behavior. There's something going on there, and we need to address it. So training is really critical, not just in that response piece, as Senator Hogue mentioned, but also that prevention piece is really a critical component. And that includes things like curricular inclusion of different backgrounds of different people. We deal a lot with LGBT students, and I know that research shows when you include LGBT individuals in the classroom setting as historical figures, as well as it's okay to have two moms or two dads, incidence of bullying on LGBT individuals does go down significantly. So it's the little things like that that make a big difference.
So Representative Sanderson, is funding for the training there for teachers, for educators?
There's no appropriations in our policy bill that we have right now. Like Senator Hogue mentioned, the governor had $25,000 appropriated. The appropriations piece for the House will be covered through Ed Approps at a later date. I wanted to get back to something that was mentioned a couple different times on the conversations, and I just wanted to share something. These conversations are helping. I mean, there has been a big spotlight put on bullying in schools, and the governor's had a couple different anti-bullying summits. And last year, I was invited to be part of that on a board there, and or a panel, excuse me. And before I went there, I'm a school teacher, and so what am I going to talk about? You know, how can we help? And I realized that I have the best resource in the entire world are these kids. And I've got eighth graders, I've got freshmen, I've got juniors, I've got seniors, I've got the whole gamut. And so I put some questions out there, and I had the kids answer. I mean, we shut down for a day in Mr. Sanderson's class, and we just talked about bullying. And we talked about, you know, what can schools do? What can legislators do? What should we be doing? And at the end of it all, and I shared this at the bullying summit, I said, at the end of it all, I asked the kids, you know, what helps the most? And they said, Mr. Sanderson, just this, us talking about it and getting it out there and having these conversations, you know, that, and the fact that these kids see that I care, I want to be doing what I can to make sure that we have a safe learning environment, and other teachers are watching and are looking out for these kids. And so these conversations are huge, and this is making them continue. And I think that if whatever anti-bullying bill, whatever it looks like when we get out of here, is going to continue that conversation, there's going to be some form of training there. And whatever that is, it's going to have teachers talking, and they're going to be bringing that into their classroom. And I think that's going to pay huge dividends.
Senator Hogue, I'm curious, does the governor support the Senate version? Have you guys had conversations with the governor's office?
Well, the governor's office was represented at the subcommittee we just had, and literally this was 20 minutes ago,
right?
And expressed a couple little suggestions. They had a couple little things they'd do differently, and we're going to continue to work through that process. And when we're off the radio here, I'm going to head back over, sit down with the staff, go through, okay, what are the changes we're looking at for tomorrow's bill? One of the things they suggested, and I agree with that at some level, is they don't feel like they need to have an office of support and analysis in the Department of Education to help school districts. Well, we're not really in a position where we can give the governor an office that he doesn't want. And so if he's made the decision that Department of Education doesn't need that office and can meet that responsibility otherwise, well, we'll do that, because there is clearly a need for more training dollars. We have a total of $1 million in our version of the bill. I don't know if that's adequate, but the thing that's not adequate is to allow the federal funds to go away and have nothing from the state to replace it. That's a formula for going backwards rather than forwards, and we need to keep making progress on this issue.
Yeah, how would you respond to that, Representative Sanderson?
Again, if regardless of the version that goes forward, and we don't know what that's going to look like in the end, there's going to be a funding piece to it. And if it's $1 million, if it's $25,000, if it's more, if it's less, when it comes to the House File 2409, that's all going to be sorted out in appropriations.
Yeah, Senator Hogan.
Well, on the appropriations side, our budget targets that the two chambers agreed to last week contemplate additional funding for education above what the governor had proposed. And I think one of the reasons why that is above that number, and by the way, I think that's the only line item that was above. If I recall correctly, every other line item was below the governor. That one was above the governor, and I think part of the reason was the recognition that we may need some resources on the Safe and Healthy Learning Environment Initiative.
Let's go back to Paul Gosman with Sioux City Schools. How much training would you see be required in your school district? I mean, you're hearing us talking about money, and let's go back to a school. How much would your educators need training-wise?
Yeah, you know, we've got bully prevention curriculum in our district. I think you know that Sioux City has put in a great deal of curriculum that probably exceeds that which is going on in maybe some other districts that are out there. We participated in this national documentary. We did so in a sense wanting to shine a light on this, and we've been called courageous and we've been called foolish for doing so, and quite honestly we didn't do it for either of those monikers. We did it because we believe it's time for students to have a safe learning environment. We know that they will only learn when they feel safe at school. We do an awful lot of training here. Frankly, I would probably admit to you that in the last couple to maybe 3 years, we've spent more than the House is talking about in their bill on spending in the entire state. However, I don't know if the right number is 25,000 or right number is $1 million. I would tell you it's probably somewhere in between there. I appreciate what's being discussed in the House because it's something much it's using a pipeline that's already there. When educators are certified and then recertified each time, that it would be a part of the regular trainings that we all are expected to go through to re-up our certification, if you will. And I think that's a healthy way to do it. It has proven to be successful before. We do that for child abuse training and restraint training and some other areas as well. And I think that's a great vehicle to do that. And if that webinar and process can be developed and implemented for a smaller dollar amount, that's certainly fine and a great place to start.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's where we're going to have to end it. Thanks so much to all my guests today. River to River is produced by Sarah Bowden, Emily Woodbury, Ben Stanton. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Clay Masters. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.